Welcome, everyone, to the X Factor Files podcast. I'm Daryl.
I'm Philip.
And I don't have the microphone, so this is going straight to the computer. So, hey, here's to hoping the audio is somewhat tolerable for all of you listening.
You may need to adjust as needed.
Yes, we are doing our best to give you a new episode because next week there won't be one because you will be busy.
It's true. I'll be on the family farm in Iowa doing some transplanting.
Yes.
We're going to put in a whole bunch of native pollinators and then take some New England asters that are choking out other stuff back to your place where they have all the room they could ever want and more.
Very true. And I'll be taking care of the buns.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'll be a solo dad weekend.
It will. And maybe doing some weeding.
Yeah. Depending on what the weather looks like.
Yeah. Because Thursday after work is me grabbing the buns, dropping them off, putting all the stuff that needs to go into the ground in.
Yeah.
And then I leave after work.
Yeah. So it'll be a lot of driving for you next weekend.
It will. But it'll be good to go to the farm. I always like it.
Yeah. And this past weekend, we're recording this on Memorial Day. So it is quite busy for us. I feel I need another weekend.
Uh-oh. It was a lot of being on.
It was. We had games with a couple of our friends yesterday.
We won our campaign.
Yeah.
Like the full adventure on the very last turn.
The Journeys in Middle Earth.
Yes. Which is fun.
It is. It was a 5-hour gaming session. My patience ran out somewhere in the third hour.
No, it ran out much sooner than that.
Oh.
I could tell.
It was a lot. I think part of it is where I was seated was not. It was like the end of the sofa, so there was no support, so I felt scrunched up. Like, there's no good posture.
So we need one of those, like, lawn chair things where it's just the back and then you sitting on the base, hold it upright?
Yeah.
Or a chair,
yes.
Which we have, so.
Yeah.
Now we know.
And then one of your really good friends from college was in town.
Yeah, so we joined them on a few stops on their bike tour of breweries.
Mm-hmm.
Although we did not bike.
Right.
But we met them at one in St. Paul, did a stop at a comic shop that mm-hmm. was having a moving sale, got a whole lot.
Yeah, a lot of dollar comics.
Yeah.
So many dollar comics.
And then met them back up for two other stops.
Mm-hmm.
Also stopped at a sci-fi bookstore.
Yeah.
Like, had walls of the beach reads is what I would call them. Mm. Like
the paperback novels.
Yeah. That people were just churning out.
Yeah, just thousands of sci-fi and fantasy novels.
There was a Star Trek section, which was fun.
Yes, you picked up a Peter David.
Imzadi 2,
yes.
Which I'm hoping is as good as Imzadi 1. But the description, like, I hope it's not a love triangle thing.
With Worf.
But it sounds like a love triangle with Worf.
Yeah, and what a day to pick up a Peter David novel.
Yeah.
The same day that he passed away.
Which is condolences to his family.
Yeah, really sad and unfortunate. I'm glad that he is no longer suffering as he was the past few years. Like, it was a struggle from what his wife Kathleen would write updates about.
But what a contribution to storytelling and comics across a whole bunch of franchises.
Yeah, he did so much work for Marvel, DC, licensed properties,
Star Trek,
yeah novels, comic books. Like, he could write them all, so.
And had the background. Like, Imzadi is so good.
Yeah, he knew his source material. He really invested time into whatever he did to understand the characters,
to make the characters' voices sound authentic,
yes,
to what folks would know from the show.
Yeah,
but so we did that. We ate some black locust blossoms. It's like a big forager weekend when those are in bloom. And they were really good. They taste like the best parts of fresh peas.
Hmm.
Like the freshness, the greenness of it, a little sort of crunchy. I'm excited to hear from my coworker how black locust ice cream goes.
Hmm.
Should be delicious. And I think it's an infusion of the blossoms into the cream.
Okay. So
would make the most sense to me.
Yeah.
Based on, like, what they are.
But is it just pea-flavored ice cream, then?
No, because, I mean, that's the base of the flavor, but it's also floral and very sweet. Like, I mean, I guess peas are very sweet, but the blossoms were super tasty. And I just walked over to a tree and grabbed a bunch and passed it around. And
And that was the last brewery stop.
yeah.
And then we played pinball.
Yes.
There's a Star Trek TNG pinball machine.
There was an X-Men one. They were hard. I'm not good at pinball.
The X-Men one was a more recent one. So it basically went from like 25 cents a play all the way up to a dollar. And the newer machines are all a dollar. And I think that they are a lot more difficult than the pinball machines I grew up with, which were like the 50 cent machines. Like,
Yeah.
is that speed? Like, I swear, no matter what we did on the dollar ones, half the time the ball would go straight down the center. There's nothing you can do. Like, the flippers will not come into contact with it.
No, outside of their arcs.
So, I enjoyed the Austin Powers one and the Star Trek one, although people were really bogarting the Star Trek one. Like, they were standing at that machine for like 15 minutes. It's like, can you give someone else a chance?
Bogart, like Humphrey Bogart?
It's like a monopolizing.
Oh, I've never heard that phrase before.
Okay, well,
Heard it here first, folks.
unless you've heard it before. So that was sad. Like, some dude just like sat down his drink and was sliding quarters for quite a while on that machine.
When we wanted to set our drink down and slide some
I
quarters
know, it's
down.
like I want to be selfish with this machine because I did it. That's the longest play I had of any of them.
Oh yeah.
It just kept going.
You had the explorer mission to and you had to get the ball up the ramps because the ramps were the different quadrants.
And I think I got two,
Okay.
maybe two quadrants.
I mean, I would start one of those missions like save Leech, and then it would immediately go down the middle.
Yeah, sorry, Leech, and Professor X would look really sad on the
You
video
oh,
screen.
so much disappointment from a computerized Charles Xavier.
Just facepalm.
Yeah. Yesterday, what did we do yesterday? Oh, that was gaming
That
and supper
dinner.
at Hell's Kitchen. So good. I had the lemon ricotta pancakes that had been tempting me for a while, and they were definitely worth it. They were super good.
So very full weekend. It's now sort of a recovery day, I guess.
Yeah, you need to, when you get home, we'll need to water the plants that I'm very worried about. So here's hoping for the best.
It should be fine.
I mean, we had a lot of rain, so I'm hoping within the greenhouse it just got super humid, and
It looked humid.
so the water wouldn't evaporate out of the dirt so fast. So who knows?
And we're set for more rain starting tomorrow.
Oh, then you definitely should put the peppers in the ground, the ones that are in their little six pack. They are probably root bound and will do well, especially with rain coming to settle everything in.
So after we record, I have to get home and do stuff before I record again with someone else tonight.
Yes. I got the pollinators for here put in, New Jersey tea, golden Alexanders, the spotted bee balm I grew from seed. The cardinal flower is not in, but it is still super small. So I wanted to give it a little bit more time in its milk jug so it can get a little bit bigger. But chopping out the yew stuff wasn't so bad. I only had to use the clippers to get roots out of the holes I wanted a few times.
That was Saturday.
It was,
And
yes.
you're like, I'm gonna do that while I'm like doing the final polish on the book
Yeah.
because I have to go through everything and I'm tightening everything up. It's a nice process. I'm
It
glad I caught one typo, so I'm like, oh no, you need to do this entire thing. Because I am just a little tweak here, a little change there will make it for a better read. And I'm catching more typos.
yeah.
So, not a bad thing. I just didn't allot for this in my time, but I have time.
Yeah, I figured being outside would give you the alone time that you needed. Husbands.
I'm like a third of the way through of the book right now.
Okay.
So it should get done this week. I'm just going to need to do like 75 pages per day, at least.
Also, good thing I'll be in Iowa, so you can have all that time with the buns.
So I can do other things for the book.
Yes.
What a job. Anyway, let's talk about the issues. We have annual number one, and
Yeah.
then 41 and 42.
This annual is the first annual, even though the book has been going 3.5 years.
Yes. And the interesting thing, there are only two annuals for Alpha Flight.
Oh,
Yeah. Yeah.
despite all the years.
Because annual two happens right around issue 50. So Bill
Okay.
Mantlo is the only one who did annuals. Annuals are weird things. They do them when they feel like it.
Yeah, and plot-wise, this sort of fits here. Like, it fits here as best it can.
I'll address it.
Oh,
Yeah, I
okay.
actually analyzed it, like to figure out, along with helpful guides, alphaflight.info. They have a whole forum where people have laid out things, which really helped with the book too, in terms of like, where's this random issue of Marvel Comic Presents fit into continuity? And you're like, sorta here, like it's a best fit here.
Yeah, it's exactly that, a best fit rather than a for sure. There's
Exactly.
enough other things that be like, this isn't quite right.
Yeah. So we've seen all the creative talents on this book before, except the penciler is Larry Stroman, who we saw in some X Factor Investigations issues.
Oh, we did.
He also did Peter David's original run on X Factor in the 90s.
Oh, nice.
So, should we dive into it?
We should. This is
Oh.
a great title page right when you open it with a spooky looking Alpha Mansion, some great clouds, like the way that they're sort of riding across the sky is very active.
Yeah.
And the text box, I am alive.
So Mansion Alpha is alive.
Yes.
So we get narration from an entity. We don't know what it is, but
It barely knows what it is at
yeah.
first. Like it's pulling its consciousness together,
Yeah.
which is how it sort of describes itself later on once it figures itself out.
Yeah.
But it's fun to be like, but what has become of me? I feel as if I were everywhere and nowhere all at once, with the house creaking and shing and sort of getting its bearings as it starts to observe the team trying to have supper.
Yeah, so Heather's trying to serve a meal with the robotic assistance provided by Roger and Madison. They sort of combined efforts to.
Make little servoids
Yeah.
that cook and clean.
Yes. Which we will never see again.
Oh.
They never come back.
Well, they can make their own food.
Yeah. So Shaman is there, but he now has the talisman powers, and he's sort of aloof.
Very aloof.
Yeah.
It's that Elizabeth lost her humanity and was super cold and vengeful, and now he is losing his humanity. Apparently, he doesn't need to eat or sleep, which is. As
Okay.
Jadzia Dax said, like, must be fun at parties.
Yeah. Aurora is wondering if Madison can help build something for Roger to satisfy her need for brawny men.
She's so thirsty here.
Yeah.
It's bizarre. Like, I like to have men around me, men with brawn, men with brains. And that sort of spirals box a little to be like, well, how long can my big brain keep her satisfied?
Yes.
And Northstar is just super catty. He tries to make a joke with Snowbird, and she's like, I can't take the Sasquatch form too long without becoming evil. She, in a sort of despondent sort of way, which makes sense. She's been through a lot.
Yeah. So the entity is still exploring
Yeah.
after this little scene.
These mortals and immortals, dwarves and cripples, seem to be imbued with as yet unguessed powers, and yet none of them perceive my presence. Am I indeed dead then? A spirit in my own house? And as soon as she said her own house, I'm like,
Yes.
it's Gilded Lily.
This is the Gilded Lily return
She's
you've been
back.
waiting for.
Yes.
Her third and final appearance.
Are you saying that to not
She
spoil things?
doesn't come back in Alpha Flight. I would have to dig further to see if like they bring her back in like a Civil War like
Oh.
crossover issue or they just kill her off or something again.
Spoiler alert, she does not go much past this issue. But it's fun. Like, she's exploring all these rooms where my study used this used to be my study, yet where are my books? This was my kitchen, yet I recognize it not. And then she discovers there's a gym,
She's like, where's my lab? And it's
a swimming
a
pool.
swimming pool. And then she finds her way to Alphanex. in the, I think it's called the computer chamber in this issue.
Oh. But she senses she'll find her answers
So
here.
she's like beep boop boop and calls up different files. She's like, oh, I recognize Aurora.
The hussy invaded my home some years ago with someone who was supposed to be my grandnephew.
Which is the technical right term is great nephew.
Oh, I suppose.
Yeah.
So.
I had to correct that when I typed it up in one of my revisions. I'm like, that's not an actual familial term.
Oh. But she doesn't need to know the encryption stuff because she is the house, and so she just like accesses the data.
So she's like, oh, Walter said, oh shit, I'm dead too.
And there's a scream, it rocks the house. All the food goes flying from Heather's plates. And there's even a whole section of villains, like their rogues gallery. It looks like a gallery with all their images on the screen. And it's fun. There's
She's like, oh, Diablo.
MODOK is there, Pink Pearl is there, Deadly Earnest, but also in the company of folks like Dr. Doom and some hunky dude who seems to have wings on the sides of his head, like ears. Ooh, Rhino's in the corner. That's fun. It's a lot of shapes, a lot of capes,
Yeah, shapes and capes.
as you do. But yeah, Diablo's there. And then.
She's like, oh, he's in a New York prison. Well, I need him for me. So
Yes.
I'm going to use the modem and dial up this prison.
They don't call it a modem, they call it a modem phone.
We're going to say modem. Because we lived through the 90s. It's a
We
modem.
know the sounds that it made.
It was really Gilded Lily the entire time.
Yeah, just trying to get out. So she finds a lab. Somehow possessing the house allows her to move the vials. So she summons an electro elemental being that can travel through the phone line. So she just gives the prison a call. And the demon travels th along the telephone wires, zaps everyone, and then finds Diablo. She sent it with instructions, find my love and bring him back to me. And Diablo doesn't necessarily want to go. Like, he seems to be enjoying his time alone without super people beating him up. It really left a mark.
But he's transformed into electricity and brought back to Mansion Alpha.
Yeah, she like is sort of speaking through him in a way. And Diablo's not a fan, but she's dead. She must be. And then it zaps and zoops and drops him off. Well, I guess it takes time.
So the team is like, what the fuck's happening here? And they split up like a Scooby-Doo episode to start investigating the mansion.
It's true. We do.
Because they're like, none of our security measures triggered.
And North Star is like that the perk of being on a team is that everyone is to blame. So it's like he gets to win the blame game every time. And Shaman is really acting very aloof, and like even Puck notices and makes a comment about it, but he says that he doesn't want to invoke the spirit's aid overly much. Like, because he's tied to the spirit realm, he doesn't want to get like lost within it, lose his essence of who he is.
Which arguably he already has.
Yeah. So
All right, so
North Star says some very cutting things, and then they all go off.
he's like, I'm going to go find Aurora and Roger, who had already split off before the house was shaking.
Yeah.
Madison is going to go to the computer chamber to see what may have gone on, but he's electrically shocked by the computer console and sealed into the room.
Which is unexpected for someone with his power set.
Puck and Shaman are trapped in an elevator and then spun around.
Which is that how elevators really work? And Northstar tries to go down a hallway, but the hallway never ends.
Heather goes outside to ask Snowbird, like, can you please lend a hand? But the front porch comes alive and pulls Heather down into the ground.
And Snowbird was despondent. Like, oh, She's Granny Smite in X Factor. She's like, I am ready to die.
No.
And maybe then I can join my parents on the godly plane.
Yeah. So she sees Heather get pulled down. She turns into the white Sasquatch.
The creature of great strength that she feels that she needs to save Heather.
But Heather is like, I got this, and blasts free. And
And it's like, why are you in that evil
yeah,
form?
girl, what are you doing? And they try to go back in, but the front doors are sealed closed.
All the windows, it's one
Yeah.
of those lockdown situations that you see in the movies.
Yeah. Aurora, it's like a panic room, but a panic mansion.
Yes.
Aurora and Roger are not really concerned. They're just flirting by the pool.
Yeah.
And Roger is swimming while Aurora encourages his physical fitness efforts.
Yes.
And
At
but
least
she's
she's.
like, you know what? My brother just doesn't like anyone I'm interested in.
Yeah, and it's not right for him to deride you as overweight because you're very strong. Like your
Yeah.
upper body's on point.
They're about to kiss, but the box armor tips over and Roger shoves Aurora out of the way.
He's pinned underwater by the armor, but then he realizes he can just phase in.
Yep.
But by the time he gets up, he can't find Aurora because she's been sucked into a mirror.
She has, because it's like a wall of mirrors
Yeah.
in the swimming pool room.
I guess as you do.
Then Diablo, he becomes a physical person again.
Yes, it took him a while
Yeah.
to get all the way across. He has no idea where he is. He starts running. I like the how later he's like, oh wait, I don't know where I am. I don't know which way is out, so I shouldn't keep running.
Yeah. And he runs into
Box.
yes.
And the walls start crushing Box and allowing Diablo to escape.
Yep.
With the house saying, this way, my beloved.
So he enters the team's laboratory, and an invisible hand mixes a concoction, and Gilded Lily finally becomes herself again.
She is all about him,
Yeah.
calling him my love, my beloved.
She tells Diablo, hey, I did this. And he connects the dots and he's like, oh shit, like you disappeared over 100 years ago.
Yeah. It's been over 100 years since I last set eyes on you. You can't be alive. It's impossible.
And he's like, why did you take me out of prison? My sentence was almost complete.
Was it? Oh, I missed that part.
Yeah. And she uses some of her powers to put him back into a supervillain outfit.
Because what struck me was like, I was safe there from my enemies.
Yeah. And he's like, oh shit, we're in the headquarters of superheroes. I don't want to be
They're
here.
going to beat me up again. Get
Yeah.
me out. And we get the nice little recap. And again, we never see her face.
Yeah.
It's all the back and her hair and the mask and goggles covering her face. And sort of like she's recapping all of this since he was stuck in a hole for a
Yep.
while.
So this really makes Lily angry and distracts her from the manipulation she's doing all throughout the house.
Yeah. And to be fair, like, she got her revenge on the people who trapped Diablo.
Yeah.
She thought she was doing such good stuff for their relationship.
Yeah.
And then she's like, I'm done fighting superheroes. Never in all my encounters with their breed have I been victorious. Where were I to help you possess one of their number, dooming her so that you might live? They never rest until they had my head. I'm not sure I want to be joined to some century-old female fury who's every bit my alchemical equal. She is pissed.
Yes.
I mean, rightfully so, but
So,
wow.
because of that, Heather and Snowbird can finally get in the front door. Shaman and Puck are breaking free the elevator. Madison escapes the computer chamber and Box smashes the wooden walls holding him captive.
Yeah, North
North.
Star gets to the end of the
Yep.
hallway.
So they're finally, getting their feet beneath them. And move as a unit, but Lily opens a portal and takes a she and Diablo into a subterranean cave. And
Yes.
there, Aurora is captive in a mirror. And Diablo is like, should I use my powers to like help you take over Aurora's body? The team just breaks through the cave wall.
His thought bubble, while Gilded Lily is trying to convince him, is just a question mark. And the art is good of like it's the like a photograph negative if people know what
Yeah.
that is anymore.
Yeah.
And
I used a
she.
couple of these for buttons that I made.
So Gilda Lily is like, Aurora was so afraid of the dark, and now she's in darkness again. So therefore, she can't escape. Also, she has. Gilda Lily is throttling Aurora, so she also can't escape that way. But when the heroes come in, Diablo is just like, I don't know how to describe this picture. It's him looking to the side, open mouth, with a hand like gasping.
Like biting his fingers, like eek.
Yeah, like he did not sign up for this adventure.
No. So Lily uses her powers to stir up a dust storm to entrap the team, and Diablo is like in the midst of making the potion that Lily wants.
So she's like, I have to protect him, give him time, let him finish his gig.
The dust congeals and immobilizes the team, but Heather breaks free because she's like, oh hell, not in my house. Are we being held captive?
She does. She's really taken on this, like, Alpha Flight is a family. This is our home. No one can take that away from us.
So Diablo's like proffering the vial of potion towards the mirror, and
He gets attacked by Northstar and Puck and sort of drops it, but Gilded Lily reaches through the mirror, allowing some light through.
yes, and Aurora feeds off of light.
Which, was that a thing before?
It was as of her transformation at the hands of Walter.
Oh, so
That
she's.
sort of changed the power set where it's much more like she feeds off of light.
So
And
she's a little bit like the Summers Brothers Superman. Like needs cosmic rays of some sort.
sort of, she can utilize light as a power. And within the mirror, she didn't have any. But that
Right.
little glimpse, she's like, aha.
So she glows, she grabs the vial, she pours it down Gilded Lily's throat,
She's
and
like, here you go, bitch.
yeah. I see I made the correct choice. Lily's body disintegrates and operates a portal through the mirror for my escape. And Diablo says, or thinks, my immortality formula containing Lily's essence and her own potion neutralized each other. All her years have caught up with her in an instant. And so she, once again, is reduced to dust, but not sentient dust anymore.
So the RCMP arrive. They're going to take Diablo back to jail so they can extradite him back to the US. And the team walk back towards their home, most likely to make some much needed repairs because that shit got wrecked.
Yeah. Diablo is just so fun in this. He's such a reluctant villain of like, but I was safe in prison. No one was beating me up.
So if we want to dive into continuity and like where this fits. So basically, we know a couple things. Shaman has the talisman powers.
Yes, it's post-pestilence. Snowbird is also real sad about all that.
Box doesn't have the bends though.
Right, that's
So
what throws it.
the team is back from their battle with Pestilence, but they haven't gone to Atlantis yet. So there's no easy place. The only place this can happen is a little tiny slice of a few hours after the team confronts Beera, but before they leave to help Namor. So Beera has like crawled out of the water on the shore, and they've confronted him, and he explains everything. And maybe Beera's just hanging out in the mansion somewhere while this happens.
Why does Beerus have to have already talked to them? Oh, because he was there when they got there after Pestilence?
Because they're like, who's that dude?
Do you think he was just chilling in the study the whole time? Oh
Maybe.
no, that was someone's bedroom it got converted into. When she's like, this used to be my study. Maybe he was out
Taking a
front
swim.
taking a swim, refreshing his salt water containment. Yeah.
So it's a weird thing. I even asked Carl Potts about it because he's the editor. And I
Oh,
was
yeah.
like, you know, this really, I wrote like a paragraph. I'm like, here's the case for everything. And his response was, I assume Mantlo planned it all out.
Oh.
Because Mantlo wrote it all. He wrote this annual and he's the main series writer at this time. He's like, I assume he planned it out.
Yeah, I mean, it is a fun story.
I don't hate it at all. Like it fits into how the characters are being written, it still progresses things because some annuals, as we have seen, are totally like one-off stories that don't impact anything.
The 1993s.
Yeah, and this moves the needle for some of the characters still.
Yeah, especially for Shaman, a little bit Snowbird of like cementing what's happened to her.
So, when I first read this, I was so happy to see Gilded Lily back.
I bet you were.
But let's get into the main issues.
Okay.
So we have issue 41. It's not easy being purple.
It's a
It,
new
I love
member.
this might be one of my favorite covers of the entire series. It's Northstar battling alligators.
Yes. Slightly torn costume.
I love the coloring, the like sunset.
His face is sort of shadowed.
It's a great cover.
It is.
All right.
So we find this 13-year-old girl sneaking back into her house at 3 a.m. And in her condition, we find is that she's purple.
She runs to the bathroom right away and she's like trying to scrub her skin clean. And her mom comes in and she's not really mad. Like, she's probably annoyed that she snuck back in. She's petrified that her daughter is purple, not because she turned purple, but because what it means. It means that she got this from her father.
Dot dot dot. Cut away to Mansion Alpha.
Heather's like, I think that Madison should become a full member of the team because Marina is no longer here.
And Elizabeth Chu Young Min is like, but why am I here? And we don't see her after this. Like, I'm glad she's there. I think she's a cool character to look at the others through her eyes of like having a touch of superpower, but then having it taken away. And so she's there. Northstar is saying, like, some of us have a life outside of Alpha Flight. I want to go.
Aurora's like, I'm in favor, but only if I can make him a uniform.
Yes, there are some snarky comments that come along with later. Northstar says something impossibly form-fitting, no doubt. And she says, since when do you object to having attractively dressed men about, my brother? And Elizabeth is just off in the background being like, oh.
So then the team unanimously votes in favor of Madison's membership.
But Shaman abstains in a curious vote.
And Northstar's like, you know what? I'm gonna leave the team and go back to skiing.
He's taking a leave of absence, and they rightfully point out that, hey, with your abilities, isn't that cheating? And he's like, I'm only going to do exhibition. It's not going to be for actual competition. And his thought bubble when Aurora questions him, thus being spared the pain of witnessing you, my sister, lust after, well, in offensive language, should he ever be restored to manhood again? Like, toxic North Star is not the best North Star.
So we go forward a week and
Purple Girl has stolen her mom's credit cards. She's in Banff at the lodge.
and she
She.
went there because she's like, oh, Jean-Paul Beaubier is competing.
We did see a picture of him taped to her mirror in a corner, but she took her other photos with her with someone I thought was Rogue. And you're like, no.
I think it's Simon Le Bon from Duran Duran.
Which the characteristics are less roguelike on the zoomed in picture, but on the zoomed out one, it's like brown hair on the sides, white hair on top. Who else has that? Rogue. And I feel like that's her 80s look-ish.
Yeah, that's the Outback era.
Like the weird mullet thing that was happening. So Jean-Paul is competing. We get some of his background, which is fine, but I don't like how they retconned Raymond Beaumond in
Belmond.
Belmond. What did I say? Beaumont?
Beaumond.
Oh. And to Raymond Saint Jacques, a friend, father, and more to me, dot dot dot. And they made Raymond go from a restaurateur to a terrorist, which he didn't need. There's nothing that's added to the story if you add that in.
If he's like a former member of the FLQ.
Right. Like, he doesn't need that. Like, Northstar's relationship to him should have been isolated from those particular politics.
There's a couple, and you see this, I think it's a victim of a different writer taking over. or a different writer doing stuff. We saw it with the case of the bends between the Avengers issue and the Alpha Flight issue.
Oh, they added a plotline thing in.
Yes, and here, obviously, that all happened in the Burn Run, and Mantlo has been writing the series for a year now. So, like, he's probably not going back to the reference material as much.
Since he's been in it,
Yeah.
yeah.
So, I think it, at least the last name, it's more of a, oh, I didn't find the correct name, so it's going to be Saint-Jean.
I need something French.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily like that in their relationship, but that's, I guess, just me. So we get a flashback also to Mac introducing Jean-Paul to Jean-Marie and joining Department H as he's doing all these flippy things. And he thinks to himself, did I beat the course on my own or because of my mutant speed? If I cannot tell, how could they who watched me? And if I did, I am undeserving of their applause. I wish James Hudson had lived to explain to me the distinction between mutant and freak. So Northstar goes around giving some autographs.
And Kara's on the sidelines, like, she's like, I have such a crush on him, but she's a very moody 13-year-old, so she's like, I'm gonna go pout in the bathroom.
What did I hope would happen? That he'd fall madly in love with me, sweep me up my feet, and ski away with me? What a jerk. Even if a champion like him had the time of day for a teenager, me being purple would make him puke. And this girl comes in, or
Knock on the
knock.
door, and she's like, hey, let me in. I gotta pee.
She does.
And Kara's like, go jump off a cliff. And the girl turns purple and starts walking away.
Yep. So she flashes back to the backstory of her father, the Purple Man,
Yep.
Kilgrave, and her mom, who is
Ooh, it's
coerced
it.
by Kilgrave.
I think it's more than coerced. Like, he uses his powers to rape and marry her.
Yes.
So he. Kilgrave found Kara's mother in a restaurant, used his mind powers, married her within hours, got her pregnant, and abandoned her.
It does, sounds like he didn't know that she was pregnant, but still that act happened while she was not able to give consent.
So Kara's mother was super relieved when the baby came out with normal skin. And she's like, oh, thank God. Like,
And
she.
Kilgrave had released the mom,
Yeah.
hoping that the mom would stay with him of her own choice, which was not the case. Good for her running away.
Yep.
So Kilgrave let the mom go, and there. That catches us back up. This girl jumps off a cliff. Everyone's like, help her, help her. No one can save her. And Northstar shoots out of his ski clothes into his uniform, rescues the girl. There's a comment about the purple pallor leaving her face. So she's normal looking by the time she comes back. And
And Kara's like, oh shit, I did that.
just like Daddy, he's.
But like Northstar's fellow skiers are like, you cheated.
Yeah,
You're a superhero, you piece of shit.
basically. Bull, I wondered how you could suddenly reappear from retirement and outshine me, who's been training steadily for years. And Northstar isn't exactly sure if he used his powers or not on some of the tight turns.
And so he walks away. Kara runs up to him and she's like, oh, I accidentally caused that woman to jump off a cliff.
Yeah.
And Jean-Paul is like, what? And she's like, oh no. And uses her powers on him.
Yeah, I'll prove to you that I have power. She says, follow me, and he turns purple and says, I will follow, and he looks very zombie-like.
And she's like, I want flowers. And he gives them to her from a vase in the hotel.
Like the nearest ones available that he can
Yeah.
see.
And she's like, no, exotic ones. And he picks her up and they fly for a few hours to
And
a tropical island.
she adjusts his speed so that she is warmed by the friction of the air but doesn't get too cold
Yeah.
and can still turn. In order to breathe, so the pressure works out.
Yeah.
And they get to a tropical island.
They get to like this beautiful little lagoon.
There's
They're
the.
going swimming.
She's like, come on, let's swim. And he's dropping his uniform, and she's like, wait a minute. Oh, go ahead. It's okay. You're wearing briefs.
Yeah, and she's like, I wonder if I can just keep him as my boyfriend.
This weird, like. the power to make the man of my dreams anything I want, and I'm too embarrassed to use it. Like, she also would have taken advantage of your story, it sounds like, if she knew more about how life worked.
Yes, she's 13, so it's like a childhood crush, and all of a sudden she has powers, and she doesn't know
She can
the
compel the
parameters. Yeah.
yeah.
So, luckily, submergence in the water breaks her spell, and Northstar is like, what's going on?
Where am I? Why am I in my yellow briefs in water?
With a purple teenage girl.
Yeah, so he goes to her. She says, "Save me." And so
Because the
he,
crocodile is coming up.
yes. So he turns back into a zombie waiting orders. And she's like, "Oh, yeah, that's right. I need to tell you what to do." So she says, "Save me, please." He makes a water whirlwind. He goes under a waterfall and the purple fades again. So there's something about being underwater that he has figured out will protect him from her.
And then he gives a lecture on the proper use of power and how she gravely abused her is by using him as a plaything.
Yeah.
And she's like, "But I love you."
Even it were conceivable that I might return your affections, one does not use the hypo here is use those on one loves.
And he's like, "You know what? You need training, and I'm gonna bring you to some people who can help you out."
But she turns him purple again. She commands him to bring her to Alpha Flight. So, yeah, that's our first introduction to Purple Girl, issue 41.
In the letters column, we have several writers who are unhappy with Heather's conclusions that Max somehow did terrible things to Logan. And editorials like, "Those are just suspicions, and you need to stick around to see if anything comes of that particular plot line."
Oh, that's fun foreshadowing.
And someone else outright advocates for the return of Mac.
Oh.
They're like, "Bring him back."
Is it because they don't want a woman leader?
I don't know. So, issue 42, auction.
Yeah. We get, like, the covers aren't don't necessarily reveal a whole lot. So Purple Girl is in the lobby. Northstar is still a zombie.
I'd say it's an entryway. It's a mansion.
Lobby, foyer, same thing. Aurora's pissed. She's got leg warmers that match her sweater crop top situation
And she has like bikini briefs on.
with maybe
Some.
sandals, some or ballet slips, like something like that. It's a look. So they're trying to figure out what to do with her. Puck is enjoying Northstar shutting up.
And Kara directs Northstar to go douse himself in water to break her spell.
Yep.
And Box analyzes the source of her powers and he figures out it's pheromone based, so he won't be impacted by it.
Right, he's phased into his armor. Northstar is just so pissed. And she's like, "I didn't want to control you." And he's like, "You're lying." Which, fair, if she really wanted to not control anyone, she wouldn't be controlling him.
And Aurora makes a comment to Roger. She's like, "You need to get out of that armor soon, otherwise I'm gonna lose interest in you."
Yeah, it's not great. Oh, where did it go? "But remain a robot, ma chère, and you will lose Aurora. You must emerge soon from this cold metal." And poor Box, like, Aurora's laying down the law. "Either I find a way to be out of this robot body I retreated in when I got stricken with the bends and become a man she can cuddle with, or we're finished." And Madison rightfully sort of calls Aurora out on it. And she's like, "How I handle my affairs is my affair, Mr. Jeffries." He's like, "Maybe, but you're the guy jerking around with, but the guy you're jerking around happens to be my friend." So he storms off. He's like doing good things, standing up for his friend.
And Northstar is like sort of giving a talk to his sister about things, and Puck wonders if Kara's powers could be useful to the team.
And he says, "She used her powers to make me serve her, love her. I felt violated, as if I'd been raped." And Decatur's like, I'm bi a woman, no wonder you're so upset, like calling out some of the toxicity. And he's about to go off, but then he gets a coughing fit. So they're saying, like, you've been submerged a lot recently, you're getting a cold, you should go take care of yourself.
Shaman considers the options the team has with Kara. Among those options, he lists are killing her.
He doesn't finish his sentence, but that doesn't matter to her. She activates her
He
powers.
panics, basically.
And if she had let him finish, she might have heard him enumerate the final choice, that of adopting her into Alpha Flight, where she and her power could be nurtured.
Maybe he shouldn't have listed kill before adopt. I don't know.
But without his more.
Human aspects?
Yes,
Yeah.
that thought wouldn't have occurred to
He's
him.
very Data in Star Trek. Data Spock
Yes,
Shaman.
it's true.
So Madison is in the lab. He transmutes the box armor into an iron lung to see if that's going to help Roger. So he's like, okay. This big extended thing, the armor, and then I transmuted,
Into a hyperbaric chamber,
off of it.
box, you can phase out into it, and box is like, hey, I'm all right.
And then he
And then he
collapses.
collapses. Like, they would have needed to attune the machine to Roger's needs.
Yeah,
But before Madison can do that, Kara comes in.
and she's like, hey, you, dude.
Help me escape from
Yep.
here.
So they go the Omnijet and fly away. And then, as soon as they get far enough away, her spell breaks for the rest of the team.
With a few hours, all you're left with is a migraine, which still not great. They discover Roger in the hyperbaric chamber. They piece together what would have happened. Like, clearly it's still the box armor. Madison altered it. Madison is not here anymore.
And Roger won't get permanent damage. Like, it sucks. He's passed out, but he's not going to die right now.
Right. Shaman gives the medical explanation of, like, it just needs to be calibrated to what Roger needs.
Yes. So, we have Puck, North Star, and Heather taking off. They're tracking the Omnijet with a transponder signal. And they track it all the way to Toronto. And when the Omnijet lands, Madison transmutes it into a flying car.
Until there's traffic, and then he transforms it into a flying car.
And they eat a fancy restaurant, they go on a shopping spree, and then,
Under observation, unbeknownst to
yeah.
them,
And then after that, Kara brings him home, and her mother is horrified.
she's
She's
like,
using her powers just like her father did.
yes.
And
And then,
then they just sort of leave.
yeah, they like, I feel like the mother is well-intentioned here of like, hey, I've lived this. This is not appropriate.
And then Karen Massner, well, mostly Karen's like, okay, bye, we have to go do other stuff.
Come on, slave. Like, ugh, we've got a world to conquer. But then she meets the auctioneer.
The auctioneer, and he's like, come into my limousine, and then they're gassed.
She's like, why is there a partition here? Like,
Girl.
this is why you don't get into strange people's cars.
So then we jump ahead an indeterminate amount of time, and there's an auction taking place somewhere.
So Kara is drugged up. The manipulator is being manipulated by the auctioneer for Madison to demonstrate his abilities and to create a super weapon. And luckily, he takes it apart again once he's done with the demonstration. Part of that demonstration is everyone in the audience shooting a gun at it, which I guess.
So she thinks about trying to break free of the auctioneer's will, but then she's put into a plastic bubble that allows her to breathe but not exude her pheromones.
The air is a one-way street situation.
And then to top it all off, her mother is also held captive. And he's like, if the auctioneer is like, if you don't do what I want, I'm gonna kill your mom.
But Madison is like, hey, looks like I have my powers back since you've trapped her pheromones in with her, and that was a mistake. He makes the metal roof of the building turn into fireworks, which is fun.
And that is sort of a flare for Heather, Puck, and North Star. They're like, okay, well, I think we know where they are. Because we found the car and they're not here.
North Star rescues the mom. She's like, "You're Jean-Paul Beaubier. My daughter's room is full of posters of you." And he's like, "How flattering." Like, he is just over this.
He's grazed by some debris.
Yeah, so his shoulder's bleeding. He says it's nothing, it will heal. Madison makes all sorts of weapons out of all the metal that's around, which I guess was already in the form of weapons because that's with the other stuff that the auctioneer was selling.
Heather uses her electrically charged suit to deal with some of the baddies.
Yep, stuns everyone through the metal girders of the floor.
And Kara rips her bubble on a nail and wishes the auctioneer would die.
She says, "Drop dead." And he turns purple, sort of goes unconscious.
He doesn't die. That's
No.
the great thing. Her powers are not that powerful,
Right.
whereas she
They
can heal.
can't override the involuntary functions of your body.
So then the team goes back to Mansion Alpha, and Kara, who's now officially Purple Girl, she is convinced to use her powers on Roger to wake him up and tell him to get back into the suit proper.
Yeah. And they ask the question of Aurora, "How long are you willing to wait?" Madison thinks to himself, "Good question." And she's like, "As long as it takes, Roger, so long as it is not too long." Like, she's like, "Sure, but up to a point."
Yes.
And they establish Beta Flight again. Purple Girl becomes the first member of the new Beta Flight.
Madison tells Kara's mom that he'll look after her well-being, and the rest of the team, except North Star, are okay with this turn of events.
Yeah, they're like, "She's young, she needs training, she needs to understand the responsibility of her powers." Is she a mutant?
I think she might be.
Because they mention how mutants,
Puberty.
yeah, unless you're a kill crop like Madrox.
So I think that this issue is actually really important. I think it has consequential things for the rest of the series, and at the very least, the rest of Mantlo's run.
Because it reestablishes Beta Flight and
Beta
sticks someone
Flight.
in there. With a, let's say, volatile power.
So I think them establishing a training team again is a step that we will see it. It sort of goes away for a hot second before the end of the run, but Beta Flight is pretty much always there until we end. Aurora's callousness towards Roger in his armored form. So we see sort of like, okay, they're sort of a stable couple, but not really.
No, I mean, it sort of cements that. Like, those are pieces that have been in the past few issues.
And North Star coughing.
Yeah, and I feel like the cut on his shoulder will become a thing.
So,
I mean, that's sort of pulling in information from the North Star miniseries that was there, where part of being a speedster is an increased metabolism, so he has somewhat of a healing factor. So I'm wondering if it won't actually heal.
So, I think it's a big issue in terms of things that are introduced or reintroduced.
And Shaman's callousness, too.
There's a lot going on, and we can see that Mantlo is pretty good at handling a team book. There is not just a focus on one or two characters overall. There are little beats for so many of the team members.
I mean, there's still some on hold, but
Like Snowbird,
there
who didn't
has to
see
be.
anything this issue. But like Madison taking responsibility for like a young charge, very much in the DC vein of things, where it's like a young ward, Kara Kilgrave, like Robin.
But who is not here at the end of the book is Elizabeth. Where did she go? She was at the beginning.
I guess we'll find out later.
I hope she gets a spot in Beta Flight. I feel like she should.
It'd be a good spot for her.
Yeah.
Because she does have some inherent powers. We'll see that in the future.
Which
It's
makes
not
sense.
just talisman powers.
Right, not the coronet, but inherent through her and her lineage. Which makes sense.
So how did you think about these three issues?
I enjoyed them. They were good. I am wondering if this leads up to the North Star getting the elf disease. I feel like that's where it's tracking. based on like the little bits of information I've gathered from you and Mr. Scot-Free,
Yeah.
I do like those character beats. I'm more invested in Snowbird and I want good things to happen to her. So I'm eagerly waiting for her next plot line
Yeah.
and see what
Like
happens.
Doug Thompson,
And she
not around.
references it
Yeah.
in these like that she lost her child, she's lost her husband, she's lost her godhood. She is like lowest of the low right now,
Yeah.
which is tough to see for someone that I think is awesome.
Yeah. So I guess we'll see. I haven't plotted out which issues are next. Like, we'll do another two or three in the next Alpha Flight
Another arc?
episode.
Or is it like a series of one-offs?
No, it the leading up to the big anniversary issue, issue 50, it's pretty much continuous. Like, there's not so much an arc as it's just steadily building storylines.
And comics, why is 50 an anniversary issue and not like 48 or 60?
Right.
60 would
They
make more
always go
sense.
with ending in the zeros. Like, we saw it differently at the beginning of this run, where like issue 12 was really big, double sized. Issue 24 was big and oversized,
Right.
arguably for no reason. So,
But like the yearly mark, a factor of 12 would make sense.
they're focusing more on like it's the 50th issue, so it's an anniversary.
Trying to think for Space Ghost, are there 12 issues? I think there are 12, and now they're doing an annual, and
And
it'll
then,
reset at number
yes.
one
Yep.
to bring new readers on board.
Yeah. That's the fickleness of the comics industry right now, which is too bad. I feel I've talked about it many times on
We
this
have. We've
podcast.
covered that ground.
It just sucks.
Hopefully, they do the helpful legacy numbers like they do on some of the Marvel things, of like legacy number 702. Like that would be helpful.
It would be. So, all right, everyone. Thanks for tuning in.
Be
Hopefully,
well.
the audio was okay. And we'll
Yeah.
catch you next time.
Okay, bye.
Bye.